o'clock, so I'm going to call the meeting to order. Maybe Tina's sitting down. Do you have a spot?
With Mike.
Yes. We do.
Not anybody but you.
I know.
No.
We do have a new member tonight joining us. Laura is our new member. A lot of people do know her from other activities in the community, but we'd like to have you tell us just a little bit about where you come from, and then we'll get you sworn in.
Sure. I live in Palmer Township, or in Sherburne County. I've lived there for 30 years. I have three girls, but Holy Library, Becky Library,
Did you have fun at the Capitol?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Karen, you're going to read the oath, or how does that go?
Do you want to just read it?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
I swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Minnesota, and that I will faithfully discharge the duties of the Office of Trustee of the Great River Regional Library System, according to the best of my judgment and ability.
Thanks.
Very good.
I just need someone to witness.
Welcome. So next we have adoption of the agenda. Is there any questions, any amendments on the agenda? Comments? Otherwise, I'll entertain having a motion to accept it.
I'll move approval.
So that's Lisa. Is there a second on that?
No second.
Al? Any further discussion on that? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Agenda carries. Next, we have approval of the minutes from January 16th. This is an action item. Are there any questions about the minutes from January 16th? Seems like a long time ago.
Move approval, Madam Chair.
Second.
Okay, any other discussion on the minutes? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Next, we have our open forum. We do have a couple of people signed up. First, Peter Wilson, if you'd like to come up to the microphone. We do appreciate you sharing your comments with us. We have 2 minutes per speaker, and there's just two that are signed up. So go ahead.
Okay, Peter. And that's fine. Peter Wilson, 1108 Celebration Drive, Sartell, Minnesota. Do you have a timer or something? Okay, very good. A lot of talk about and it keeps coming up, the censorship question. And again, I think we have to separate censorship like it's conducted at our county commissioners or the school board in St. Cloud, where you don't get to be visibly viewed or your comments heard. You may or may not know that. And hopefully after my comments, we can meet before the next school board meeting and march in unison over there to stop that censorship. But again, the comments would be this. When I came in here today, I asked about donating books. I have done that for in excess of 4 decades to different places and organizations. They no longer accept them. They indicate they will order it, and I believe them. But the sheer fact that you don't have something that has to be ordered means the person who organically walks in to take it out or sees that you have it, then has to wait. As someone who waited in a test case for one of the Liz Collin books, even though I had acquired many and given them away, I had to wait because there was 6 in the system at that time, and there was 80-some requested. So if you control what is put in there or how many, you act to some degree as a censor. If you control what is sent, like was being sent over to the school board in Sartell by Barnes & Noble, if you're interjecting yourself, you act, in essence, as a censor. Here, again, children shouldn't see obscene items. I don't care if adults do. I see it all the time coming to various school or governmental boards. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, we have Dwayne Levine. So, Dwayne, if you'd state your address and your topic that you're going to be talking on.
Hello, I'm Dwayne Levine. Can you hear me? I'll turn it down a little bit. 1215 Street, Sartell, Minnesota. And I'm here today. If I put on some glasses here. I'm here today to express my opposition to the sexually explicit pornography books. All of our rules and regulations, laws, constitution, and everything are established by scriptures in the Bible. And so let's take a look at what the Bible has to say here. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it." And 1 Corinthians 6 says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous, fornicators, homosexuality, thieves, liars, rapists will not inherit the kingdom of God or go to heaven?" The books that you are letting our kids watch here or read here at the library are sending our kids straight to hell. Is that what you really want for our kids? Shalom.
Is there anybody else for the open forum? Seeing none, we'll close open forum for now. Yes. And next we're on to number 6, the financials. The bills were mailed to us. There was one more on your on the table.
That's the addendum.
Oh, the addendum. Yep. Okay. Amy is not here tonight because she's in the audit, but Karen's going to speak on her behalf.
Yeah. Any questions about bills or financials?
Hearing none, we could call for the vote for the first two, the bills and the financial reports, but not the current letter of credit. We'll do that separately. Okay. So is there a motion to accept the bills and the financial reports as on the table? I think see Lee saying yes. He's making a motion. Is that correct, Lee? Is there a second on that?
Second.
Wayne? Is there any further discussion on the bills or financials? I'll call for a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next, we have 6.3, the current letter of credit designation. We see this every year. Is that not correct, Karen?
It's every couple of months. So
every
yeah.
couple of months?
Yep.
It's on page 9 in your packet. Karen, is there anything different on that? Or
no, nope, just it? Need motion.
Okay. So is there a motion to accept the current letter of credit?
Madam Chair, I'll move to approve the current letter of credit designation.
Lisa, is there
I'll
a second?
Second it.
Ed, second. Any further comments or discussion on that? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries to accept the current letter of credit. Next, we're on to the consent agenda, 7.1.
You want to pass it around, Patty? That's the state report. We have to file it every year. There's a couple of numbers we're still waiting on from cities. But
so make sure you read every page of that.
Yeah.
Don't miss a page. And that's annual as every year.
To have first reader?
The speed reader. Any comments on that, Karen? Obviously, we're not going to read every page of that.
Yeah, please. If you want a final copy once it's filed, we can send it to you.
Okay. Just goes to the state. It's just
stats.
Straightforward. We don't need to vote on that. Oh, yes, we do.
Yep.
Yes. So is there a motion to accept the library annual report?
I'd make a motion to accept.
Thank you, Bobby. Is there a second? Is that a second, Lee? I think Lee got a second on
that.
That
was his second.
Okay. It was his blessing.
That was his blessing. Oh, excuse me. I missed that. So any further discussion on that? Otherwise, we'll call for the vote. All in favor of accepting the public annual report, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. 7.2, we don't have anything there, do
we?
No. Okay. Next, we have communications. 8.1 is the Eagle Bend Expansion Open House, page 15 in your packet.
You're officially invited to go to Eagle Bend to see their new construction.
Did people get a postcard in the mail, or was I special?
I am.
Oh, okay.
We're special.
Cars were special. I didn't get a postcard.
Karen did get one.
I don't know where the hell it is yet, but I got it.
Yeah, it's from 9 to 12.
On the 13th of April.
Yeah, if you're around.
Yeah, that's the one.
Have some people go to it. 8.2, we don't have anything in other.
Nope, thank you.
9.1, we have a presentation from
Marla Sherber from our Monticello Public Library. So part of our strategic plan goals is to have a quarterly presentation to the board on diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts. Monticello's got a very unique partnership with their city, and I asked Marla to come and talk about it.
They've been replaced.
They're fixed.
Oh, they're fixed.
All right, you can take
a sign from above. A blessing.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So, as Karen said, my name is Marla Sherber. I am the Library Services Coordinator at the Monticello Public Library. I've been with Great River since May of 2006. So, if we do the math, I guess I'm here almost 18 years coming up this May. And so when Karen approached me about a month ago and said, hey, do you want to do this? I think you're doing some great things in Monticello. I'm thinking, really? Are we? And I had to really think about it for a while. And I guess the more I thought about it is the fact that I don't think we're doing anything special. It's just what we do every day. So the title of my presentation is Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, otherwise known as Everyday Library Service at Monticello Public Library. So that's where we're going to go, but I'm going to tell you just a few things that we do. So what we do, and every library in the Great River does this, as far as I know. If I've gone to a smaller library and I've gone to bigger libraries, and they're doing this too. But what we do is we honor those special months or holidays or people with displays. This is really easy to do. It offers a twofold purpose. It's informative to patrons. It promotes the collection. It introduces patrons to maybe a new subject or a new author. And then the other thing we do is we offer diverse programming and outreach. So we try to, how we do it is we connect with the community. So Monticello has a fairly large Hispanic and Spanish-speaking community, so I try to connect with them, even though my experience with Spanish is what was limited to Sesame Street, and that for me is quite a while ago. So, but I also listen to patrons' requests, and so I can kind of get the pulse of what's going on in the community, knowing what do they want, what do they need, and then we also get ideas from other libraries to promote the collection. Like I said, when I go around to other libraries, and even when I'm traveling, I look around and I see what other libraries in other states are doing, in other regions. And then we promote the collection, and good grief, there's Pinterest, and we love Pinterest. and we like to get ideas on how to promote the collection and share programming ideas that way. So one of the things we do in Monticello is we have connected with the Monticello Diversity Team.
Thank you.
It's a team that meets monthly at our library. And they plan various community events. They have done author talks or community reads before. And now they have done a couple things that they're going to be doing on an ongoing basis. And one of them is the Dia de los Muertos program. This particular one that I have pictures from are from 2022. And the Dia de los Muertos means Day of the Dead. And, of course, that's celebrated usually around Halloween time. And this one, I think, was like around the 6th or 7th of November when we did this one in 2022. So we offered a dance group to come in, and this particular one is a compass artist that we paid for with our legacy funds from, and they're a group out of Minneapolis, and it's the Kalpuli Quetzalcoatlicue dance team. And so the library, paid for them to come and dance at the Monticello Middle School. And then we also had a booth and kind of an expo format, and I'll have the next pictures here, too, to kind of show you what they did. They did an altar, as you can see here, and everything was so colorful and so well done. For a first-time event, we probably had about 350 people that showed up, which was great. The where you saw the dancers were on the stage there, that was in the Monticello Middle School auditorium, and that was pretty full. So the diversity team helps plan some of these things, and we try to help with whatever we can, with programming, with promotion, with the library materials that we have that we're offering in Spanish. And then coming up in April, they're doing an Around the Globe Multicultural Festival. So if you remember the Festival of Nations that used to do in Minneapolis, they're doing it on a smaller scale, but they're doing it at the Monticello Middle School. And so that's coming up on Saturday, April 20th. And so that's kind of the free family events they like to do to celebrate the cultural diversity of our community through food, dance, music, and more. Let's see, here we go. So here's a few more of the pictures from that event. Let's see if I can get this one to go. I don't have sound, but you can see the dancers. They were so colorful, and their costumes were amazing. And then down here in the middle bottom, that's my booth there at the library that we put together. We had puzzle giveaways and a couple books that we had to give away. Okay, oops. And then we have this one. So this one, we had the Afutaye Haitian dance group come out, and they were from Golden Valley. And she was a storyteller. So the woman you see with the blue scarf, she was telling a story to the audience, and there was probably about 20 people that were in the audience. You don't see in the picture, but and so she was telling stories through dance, which was amazing and very, very entertaining. And then her daughter there with the maracas, she was also like playing along and narrating as well. And then they got the kids involved too, and they were doing right there. She's feeding fish in the water. That's what she was doing at the bottom at the slide on the right hand side there. So I talked about some of the displays that we do in Monticello. Monticello is kind of known for our displays. If you haven't been to our library, please stop by. You'll see that's kind of what we do is cool displays. Banned Books Week this year is September 22nd through the 28th, and that's coming up obviously this fall. And obviously with the group that was just here, Banned Books Week usually gets some good discussion going. And when I say good, I mean good. People come in and say, wait a minute, you're banning books? And we're like, no. These books have been banned in places for various reasons. And we have those conversations, which are really good, and they're healthy, and gets people talking. So this is one of the displays we had. And then did you know that May is Asian Pacific American Heritage Month? And so we'll do a little display about maybe some Pan-Asian authors that we have that we could feature in our collection. We just got done in February was Black History Month. It's currently Women's History Month. So we have two displays. We have this one for the Women's History. That one is over in the Children's Nonfiction section. And then over in our Children's Biography section, we have a whole display of women that we're featuring in that section. Well, actually, yeah, right where the juvenile biographies are in for Black History Month, that's now been changed over to Women's History Month. So we switched that over. We had diverse titles. So a year ago, we had an elementary school teacher ask me to see if we could order more books to have in our collection available to her students that were Maud Hart Loveless Award winners. And so for my locally growing goal, I used that money to purchase more books for the collection from that. So the Star of the North Picture Book Award winners, and then right above it, those are some of the books that were some of those Maud Hart Loveless books. And so you can see from the covers, these are diverse titles, and we feature them. It's just something we do every day. So we have a new book section for our kids in our juvenile section, so you can see those there. And then, like I said earlier in the first slide, I said making partnerships and getting to know your community and getting involved. I've done a couple visits over the Tri-Valley Head Start, which is very integral in getting the younger community with our migrant workers that are in the area that start, they started school actually just this last week, and they go through September, I think, or maybe October. And so that the first picture there on the left-hand side, that is their new facility. If you drive through Monticello, you'll see it on the south side of the freeway, and it's right by the Hoagland Bus Company, if you know where that is. And it's a beautiful new building. They've revamped it. It's gorgeous. And then in the top right-hand corner, that is the Monticello Care Center. We do drop-offs there. So this is outreach is not just people of different colors, but different ages. So we reach out to our senior community, and we do age appropriate, and we look for large print books that we are able to deliver there. I do that once a month. And then in the bottom corner, that's David Malmberg. He is a guitarist, and he was out at the Monticello Senior Center. Gosh, I think that was in November. I can't remember now. But he was out. He's one of our legacy artists, and he does perform, and he performed at their luncheon. So we do partnerships with the Monticello Senior Center. Okay. And I guess that's it. That is a picture of our building that we have a statue that was commissioned out front. And if you ever come to to the Monticello Library, take a picture there and post it on your Instagram page, because that's kind of a neat spot at our library. But I just want to thank you for letting me come here today and share with you. It's important, but again, it's just what we do. It's what we do every day. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I see why you chose Monticello Library.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Dynamo.
Yeah. So lights work. Look at that. This is amazing. This is $48,000 worth right here. If it all goes well. So next we have 10.1, our executive director's report, page 17. Karen, did I miss something?
Get
you running all over the place.
That's okay.
Okay.
All right. So, I mean, the report speaks for itself, but there were a few updates since last time. One, I wanted to happily report we are officially in compliance with pay equity, so very excited to get that report back. Legislative updates I wanted to share, but I also was asked to share this letter from the St. Cloud Reading Room Society. The St. Cloud Reading Room is the organization that actually raised the funds for the Carnegie Library in St. Cloud, so the original founding group of women who formed the St. Cloud Library. And has been an integral part of Great River since that time. They actually are members of our fund development committee now because they have reached major donor status. And they, at their meeting last Thursday, voted to send this letter to the Great River Board because they had concerns about book challenges in general. So this is the statement they asked me to read on their behalf. The St. Cloud Reading Room Society has been involved with the St. Cloud Library System since its founding in 1880. Through the efforts of our organization, we were responsible for the establishment of the Carnegie Library, and we have been connected to the library system ever since. The mission of the St. Cloud Reading Room Society is to promote reading, literacy, culture, and education in our community. It has come to our attention of our organization that some patrons have objected to certain books housed in the library. Our organization feels that while it is the right of all patrons to have different views, everyone should have access to all library resources. We applaud the system of steps that was created by the Library Board to address the needs of concerned patrons. We appreciate your time and energy that went into this project. Sincerely, the St. Cloud Reading Room Society. So, good job. St. Cloud Reading Room Society doesn't weigh in on a lot of things, so the fact that they sent the letter is remarkable. A group of ladies. If you ever want to have dinner some Thursday night, let me know. The other thing I wanted to let you know is the legislative updates. On page 18, I share a little bit about Legislative Day, thanks to Commissioner Lenzmeyer and Wayne Barnschmidt for coming down to the Capitol with Jamie and myself. We visited a lot of different people that day. And since then, there has been additional developments, particularly around the book banning bill which is the second bullet point, and regional libraries, which is the third bullet point. The book banning bill, I learned yesterday, has been included in the Senate Education Policy Omnibus Bill. So there will be language about banning, like no book banning in Minnesota to some sort in legislation as it moves forward. I have the House file. There are two separate House files. One was put forward by Representative Pryor. The other one was put forward by Representative, I'm probably going to wreck his name, Shizanowski, something like that, and has a companion bill in the Senate from Senator Kunesh, who has been a large proponent of the library community. The first bill that has a Senate House companion was put forward by the MD, the Minnesota Department of Education. So this was pushed forward by the administration itself. Representative Pryor's has more specific information about civil penalties for removing books. I'm not really sure how this language will merge as it moves forward. I have drafted legislation in a Google Doc in my email right now about what the library community can live with, because it's a grand concept, but I feel like we did a lot of work last year to make a policy that makes sense at the local level, so it feels a little odd to have the state weigh in at this time. So if you want more information about that, those bill numbers are there for you to follow. I'm happy to share what else I know, but it definitely has felt like a top-down approach in terms of how these bills were formed and put forward. Regional libraries is the other bill that was not on the radar when we went to the Capitol at the end of February. So there are 12 regional library systems in the state. Under Minnesota rules, in order to receive state library funding, the executive director for a regional public library system is required to have a master's in library science accredited by the American Library Association. The director of MELSA, which is the region to our south responsible for the metro area, is retiring in April. This will be the third regional library directorship that is vacated in the last year, one due to family issues, one to another retirement. This is a retirement. The MELSA position opened up within the last 10 years, and they had a hard time filling it. And so the MELSA board asked Senator Kunesh to put forward a bill to remove the requirement for MLS-accredited director for regional public library systems. That was the first proposal. It has now moved to MELSA has an exception to needing the library degree requirement under state statute. I'm not sure if it will pass or not. The Department of Education is strongly opposed to this. It is sponsored by Senator Kunesh, who is known to be a strong library advocate. It's a bit odd to me myself that this is the same senator who has pushed forward that school media specialists have a requirement, and yet I think listening to her testimony the other day, it comes from the position of she's a legislator, she's a media specialist, she's got experience, and she's not qualified to fill this job as well. So they want a more diverse candidate pool at MELSA for this open position. It could have a trickle-down effect for the rest of the state, depending on how this moves forward. I've remained fairly silent on this issue, partly because we hadn't really talked about it at the board, for one. Two, it's not really my fight because I won't be here if there's another director. It's kind of by definition. And third, Great River's long history of promoting people into librarian positions with great success without the degree. And so, yes, it could be read as a deprofessionalization of librarianship and directorship, but I can honestly say there's a good chunk of my time that I didn't learn in library school. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention in case there is some concern that someone would want to raise. If you want me to dig into something, I'm happy to do that. But I felt like it was important to share that since we were meeting tonight. So
Madam Chair, Karen, do you think any of the other regional libraries are going to weigh in on this?
MELSA is standing alone in this. Okay. Yeah, the rest of the regional libraries are in strong disagreement about this particular topic, partly because the last two positions that were filled last year had really strong responses. Up in Arrowhead, I think they had like 18 candidates from all over. They were a diverse pool of applicants. And that was to live up in Mountain Iron. So I think the search they experienced when the directorship opened last time was just a very different environment. Minnesota is a very attractive place to work in libraries right now because we have a strong history of supporting our libraries, and that's not true across the nation. So, yeah. Some of those conversations were happening today with government relations within the governor's office. So there's a lot going on about that topic right now.
Any other questions for Karen? Okay, next we'll move on to management reports. Are there any questions
Jamie,
on those?
I think Jamie, are you going to share that? Anything?
We did read your report.
Okay. Jamie's here. Do you have any questions? Kara's here. Kara's here.
Any questions for management
nice
here?
Job, Jamie. At the Capitol.
What was that, Wayne?
Jamie did a great job testifying at the Capitol.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lovely photo of all of you, too, also.
So we made Tim O'Driscoll's newsletter. Yeah.
So who actually took the photo?
His assistant. Kara probably could give an update on Youth Advisory Council, too. So,
yeah.
Okay, now it's on. They are excited, and we just had another full meeting yesterday, and it was amazing. This is the first one where over the last meeting they elected leadership, and so this was the first meeting that was more or less run by the teens all by themselves, and I was pretty impressed. I was ready. I was ready to hop in case I was needed, but it ran pretty smoothly. They asked questions and want to meet again on Friday to move something forward so that hopefully for the May 21st board meeting they'll be able to come and present maybe a mix, probably some online, probably some in person. So that's the goal. That's our hope. I don't want to promise something I can't deliver. Like if they all bail on me, I mean, I'll still show up. But they seemed really excited. So, yeah, is there anything you'd add to that, Karen?
Well, we had a contested election, so that was not expected.
I think that tells you a lot about this group, right? That, like, if you've ever tried to get leadership with adults, maybe sometimes it's kind of like pulling teeth, right? But they were ready to step up to lead and wanted to lead. And what we thought was going to be a quick, you know, you and you, your leadership, go. There were multiple people vying for it, so it was really interesting to see. So this is a great learning experience, and they're really passionate, go getters, and it's really enjoyable to watch. Honestly, it's fascinating to watch them go. Really makes me hopeful for our area and, you know, the youth that are coming up.
Will they be coming to our full board eventually?
May.
In May. Okay.
That's our hope, is May.
All of them or just
Well, you know, they're spread across the region. And so for some of them, they can't drive. Mm-hmm. You know, we might be able to set up something where some could join us via Zoom. So we've talked about maybe what some of our options were. But some do live in the area. Some can drive. Some might be able to get parents to drive them. So we've already started talking about it with them to kind of get them prepared. Who can come? Who wants to come?
Your local legislator might be closer than it would be for us to go as a group to the Capitol when they have their weekend get to know the folks meetings. Go in there, talk libraries. You'll get response.
Okay. Thank you, Kara.
Doesn't have to be a ceremony.
Any other? Oh, Jamie's got a couple more things to say. Is it on or off is the question.
No, it just takes a second for the little green light to turn on. I just wanted to say, you know, thank you to everyone who was involved in all of the discussions that we've had over the past year with in regards to reconsiderations. That panel has been working out, and so it's really gratifying to see the process play out. And I mean, I agree with Karen. It's like, we like our process. We worked really hard on it, and I do think it's important for people to have their voice. So, and I also just included some information about the growth of the digital library and where we're coming in with that. We're looking at different models of licensing to hopefully bring down that cost per copy. And that was successful last year. We'll keep working on that. And in my report, I had said we're working on bringing some free ebooks into the catalog through eBooks Minnesota. By free, I mean they've already been paid for with your tax dollars. But they are available simultaneously, which is a really unique thing that multiple people can access them at the same time. And thanks to Jay's legwork, I said it's coming soon while it's already in action. So if you ever want to learn about that, feel free to reach out, or any of our library staff should be able to help as well. So, thank you.
Thank you. Anything on building reports? Anything other than that's printed here?
Any Howard Lake Eagle Bend? Carpet.
I've been helping out with some of the southern building projects in one of our colleagues' absence. Howard Lake is coming along. The furniture has been ordered, which is very exciting. Annandale is in the middle of a carpeting project. So they're recarpeting the library. Carla, the library services coordinator, did a great job of lining up volunteers. They thought they were going to have like 3 days worth of work, and it was pretty much 90% done yesterday. So kudos to everyone down there who helped out. And gosh, there's projects everywhere. Elk River, now it sounds like we might be looking at a mini remodel. They have started moving furniture around, and the city is interested in replacing the floor within the next 3 years. And just on Monday, I learned they are interested in going out for bid for shelving because the shelving is old from the old building. I was very surprised to learn that, so I still have to update Karen. News to you, but yeah, so there's a lot of movement happening with building projects. I know Buffalo, this week, their city council is voting on a contractor for the carpeting project. So it's really exciting to see so many cities taking so much pride in the building.
Did I read that Cold Spring is bonding?
You might know something that I don't. I've been kind of running around taking care of other stuff. The last I heard, was that for the fire hall?
Fire hall, but I thought it was.
Okay. No, I.
Maybe it is just for the fire hall.
The last article I read was specific to the fire hall. But I know that they do have a committee for fundraising. And the last I heard that they were kind of waiting to, there's like a corner of that parcel. If you guys remember back to when they came and presented, that corner of this parcel it's a triangle that's owned by the railroad. And so they're working on purchasing this. And then the goal is to mock up what a library would look like so that they can then fundraise with this idea of what the library could look like. So that they have something to actually for people to see when they're putting their money towards it. No, I'll have to go and check and see. It has been kind of a stop and go process, but it sounded like they were slowly plugging away at stuff. So I also recently heard, actually as of today, that evidently Long Prairie is getting new windows.
Oh,
next week. I didn't know that soon, but that is it's good to have new windows. So, you know, things just kind of come up sometimes, and so we'll figure it out.
Thank you. Jay, do you have anything else to say? We got to talk earlier in the Finance Committee. We got a nice chunk of change was voted toward your project, sir. Anything else for you, Jay? Okay. All right. Next, we'll go on to committee reports. For the Finance Committee, Ed and I are going to kind of split that one.
Yep.
You want me to start from?
Go ahead and get.
Okay. Ed wasn't at the February 20th meeting, but he did say that he would be okay if we nominated him again for chair, and he was voted in again. So that was great to have Ed back as our chair, so thank you for that. We did approve the fourth quarter 2023 financial report as presented, and we did also approve the budget guidelines process for 2025 at that meeting. And I think that was all of the minute parts that I had. One more thing. The lighting. We had a presentation on lighting from the St. Cloud Public Service Director was here, also the Assistant Public Works Director. They gave us a very nice presentation and also asked us for $48,000, basically, which is going to come back. And look at how they work tonight. I mean, we were in the dark a couple times and flickering. And how far are they with the pole project? Is done? It's supposed to be done by April.
They're not quite done yet.
But close.
Yeah, you could probably walk around the library and see where the lift has landed for the evening.
Wow.
They're working while we're open.
Okay. And then Amy is working with the audit, which is taking place right now, March 18th through the 22nd. So that was from February 20th. And then, Ed, if you take it from today's meeting for finance.
Today's meeting, we approved the minutes, of course, and then we did the capital automatic request from Horizon Migration. That was approved. Compensation study. We need to do a compensation study to get us back in line a little bit for that. We proposed the 2025 baseline budget with a fair amount of discussion. We're going to use some interest, the adjusted interest income, to try and get Wright County down to 2% or under, someplace in there. Wilhelmina. It'll affect all counties, not just Wright County. It'll affect Wright County has an increase, and I believe Morrison did too. So it'll affect them as well as the other counties. We also pushed into the budget for approval the St. Michael position that was approved for extra hours in that into the full budget this time around, not just last year it came in as an adoption. And I think that was all that we had planned, so I'll move for approval of that report.
I'll second.
Further discussion on the finance report? Otherwise, I'll call for a vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries to accept the finance report. Next, we have the Personnel Committee report. Did you want to do that, JC? Or
sure.
I'll do the first part. I started the meeting, but we voted in JC for the chair. So after that, I'll let JC update us on what we talked about in that meeting.
Okay. So we primarily talked about two different things. One, we approved four different technology descriptions again that the human resources person, Nicole, is here, and she's doing a great job at updating all of those. We went ahead and approved those, and then we also approved the library assistant pilot project, which I can talk a little bit about if you have more questions. You might want to ask Karen, but we're going to have two different positions, one for some of the southern branches and one for the northern branch, where we'll have a library assistant with a minimum of 30 hours a week to fill in because they're having trouble filling positions that aren't benefit eligible. So to try to get some candidates, some well-qualified candidates that want to work more hours and have benefits. So we approve that, and I think that's going to go into effect.
We'll post tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Why wait?
Real soon. So that was, those were the two things that we talked about. So I will move for a motion to approve that report.
I'll second.
Any further questions about the Personnel Committee? Otherwise, I'll call for a vote. All in favor to accept the Personnel Committee report, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next, we have Central Minnesota Libraries Exchange Board, and I'll do the update on that. We have a meeting tomorrow right next door, so if you want to stop in at noon, we'll be doing that. We are still working on the scholarships. We had $93,000 worth to get rid of or to award, and we still have $74,000 basically to try to get rid of by June, but we can take it a little bit forward. 10 of those were grants were for professional development scholarships, and 6 were for programming. So we still have a lot of money to give out. We're getting closer to finding a new home. Karen and Melissa, the interim executive director, and I went to resource training and solutions, and Mark is putting together a package for us. It looks really encouraging. Just a few things we're going to need to probably hire our own person to do it, but they might help us. I'm just not confident in that. I don't want to do that job. That's not out of my pay grade. At this time, it is our only option. We won't be able to go to St. Cloud State University because then we would lose control of it. And state statute says we have to control it through our boards, right? Mm-hmm. So that won't be an option anymore. So since we have all these grants, if you have any small libraries or community libraries, please, you know, fill out a grant. It's probably you're going to get it. We are trying to up the amount. It was 300, it was 500, now it's 1,000, and we're looking at 1,500 because some of these conferences are so expensive to go to. We do have 2 people from the library here that are going on, not from the library, but personal, like Jamie's going to be going to one, right? And Brianne also got awarded. So that's exciting to see some of our people. Karen's working on a bigger grant to ask for because East Central did get a $3,000 grant, basically. So we're trying to get some of the bigger ones. If it affects more people, then we can up it. Yes, Lisa?
Madam Chair, so thank you. So if small libraries are interested, can they find more information on the website?
Right. It's a drop-down box. It's really easy to fill out, like a bike rack. Bins, equipment, new carpet. It's not just for books. A lot of
libraries and school libraries.
Yes, also. And history type
history,
things.
Yep. Like. So it's more than just like us.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
thank you.
And we really want to get that money used, especially before our interim director moves on. But Melissa will be staying with us. She gave the presentation last month. She's really a dynamic lady. It's a loser, but she will stay on an advisory board even after we get things going. And that's about all I have about Central Minnesota Libraries Exchange. And we do have a new handbook. I know people are asking, what is this? And people that have been on this board for a long time are still saying, what is this sometimes? So if you have more questions, Melissa will answer questions. Karen has been on this a lot longer, and it's going to stay. It's not going to go away. It's the most important thing. We have tried. And it's here to stay. So hopefully we can do a lot of good for a lot of different people in different library areas. So any questions about Central Minnesota Libraries Exchange? I'll make a motion to accept. Oh, I guess you don't have to accept that. It's just a verbal. Okay, so unfinished business, 12.1. Do we have anything in there?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
We're good at getting stuff done.
Okay, we'll go on to 13.1, the Great River Regional Library signatory agreement review.
So, Karen? Per our bylaws, we review this agreement every 3 years. That wasn't always true.
When was the last time it was reviewed?
3 years ago. We decided not to make any changes at that point. It's up to the board how they'd want to handle reviewing it this time.
Do you have any suggestions or just we've read it?
You know, the last time it was revised was back in 2015. It was when I was a new director, and at that point, the funding article said something to the effect that if the board doesn't agree on a budget, it's an automatic 3% increase. And when the agreement was originally written, 3% was not a lot of money. Then we hit the recession, and 3% was kind of a stick in the eye for the places that were having to cut county departments. So we revised it to 0% is the default. That was the last change that was made.
Where is that?
It's under, let me look, funding article, 3%.
Which page? 37.
Page 37 is the funding article. Let me see. That's where the August 1st is.
It says zero?
Yeah, it says zero somewhere.
It to last year, I think, is what it is.
Yeah.
Same as the
same as the preceding year. Thank you. Okay. It's in 3.1. Failure to pass a budget prior to August 1st of the preceding year for which the budget is being established shall mean that the budget will be the same for the next year. And it used to say it would be an automatic 3% increase. So that's the last change that was made. To change the funding article requires unanimous acceptance at all six counties. So it's an interesting agreement. Serves us well. But if there's other things that people wanted to consider, we certainly can look at it. It's just something the board at that time felt strongly should be reviewed every 3 years because it hadn't been reviewed in a really long time. So now we bring it forward for discussion.
Okay. Do you feel every 3 years is adequate? Okay.
Yeah. It seems like when this was changed, we also created the finance committee structure within the board bylaws. That didn't exist before. And a lot of the contention at the board at the time came mostly from the budget setting process and how that worked and how counties felt like it wasn't working correctly. So bringing that into the finance committee and using Benton County's base budget structure in talking about the budget has helped those conversations move a lot better.
So you have no suggestions at this time?
Nope, I don't. But
okay. This is just for review. We don't need to vote on it.
Nope. Unless somebody you guys want to do changes, something about any it.
Further communication comments about that? All right. So next we'll move on to the grant application pre-approval request.
I almost forgot about this one.
And this is an action item. So.
This one, I sent updates out about the St. Cloud Library security situation that happened a couple of weeks ago on the parking lot as the library was closing. It was shooting. Two guys shooting at each other. It was not directly related to the library other than the fact that they were out in our parking lot, but it's still terrifying nonetheless for everybody who was here. From the listening sessions we had with staff, this was the first time that I heard a louder voice about maybe we should be thinking about bringing a social worker in to work with people in the library versus we should hire a security guard. Like, both topics were brought up, but usually security guard is loud and clear. But there was a real recognition from staff that one of the biggest issues with that day was not the fact that there was a shooting in the parking lot so much as how do we de-escalate patrons who are terrified to go back out into the parking lot. And then there had also been a serious security situation the week prior with an individual who was a vet who had PTSD and was upstairs and downstairs going to his backpack, making threatening statements, and the police didn't come right away. And so it just reinforced that maybe had someone had some training in the building from a social work perspective, that situation might have looked differently. So those conversations happened, and then I was at the Create Community meeting recently where members of the Initiative Foundation and the Community Foundation were present, and they said there's a real need to develop social workers in this community. It takes 4,000 intern hours to become a social worker, and we have a grant opportunity where we want people to have that experience. And so those happened within 2 weeks. And I'm like, okay, this grant round goes to the end of April. If it's over $6,000, I need board approval. So what I'm asking is the board to pre-approve us submitting an application with the idea that we might be able to develop a social worker internship somehow, maybe with Stearns County by the end of April for application. Like once we get, if we would get the grant, then we would have to, like, make sure that we want to accept the grant. But I don't want to spend a lot of staff time writing a grant if the board doesn't support moving forward with this concept. That's kind of the background with why it's in your board packet. It just seemed like if we're going to do this, this is the time, because the Community Foundation is looking to fund positions like this. We have already an existing relationship with the Stearns County Human Services through this Project Lifeline. We have a new HR director who thinks this would be a really interesting thing to try. And staff have a real, like, we have really great staff here. They really understand how to de-escalate security situations. What we're seeing now is not the same kind of security problems as we used to. And if we learn from it, maybe we could scale it. If the grant goes away, we wouldn't necessarily build it into the operating budget. It's just, if we're going to write this grant, I want the board to want us to do that, because it takes a lot of time to develop something.
Oh, Madam Karen, Karen, so costs not to exceed $15,000 by way of the grant. There would be no line item in the budget to add staff at a later time and date.
No, that wouldn't
Unless
be our intent.
Unless you brought it back.
Yeah. Okay. Never say never, but I just don't see that it would be that kind of project. Maybe we build a really strong relationship with Stearns County and they place their people here or something, but I don't know.
Go ahead, Tina.
Just on a part of that is just, has the staff been able to process this through, you know, somebody coming in and having conversations? Because that's a traumatic experience to go through. So I'm just, you know, concerned for staff that they're getting the help that they need through the resources we already have.
We did. Okay. Actually, you know, we had the January situation with the calling around, and we had reached out to EAP at that point. That wasn't St. Cloud, but fortunately we were able to roll some of that forward fairly quickly. So I already had a connection with a crisis counselor at EAP. We did the listening sessions first here because the immediate feedback we were getting from staff is we don't need EAP, we need action. And so we started looking at what are action steps we could take. One of the things that came from a suggestion was, is there a way to press a button at the desk and lock the front door? Mm-hmm. It's a really good question. We've already got pricing for that. So we took those action steps, and then afterward we did bring in Jessica Dodge, who's a crisis counselor with Sand Creek, and she was here on Monday. I don't remember, was that this Monday or last Monday? It's been a long week. It's only Tuesday. But she met with 10 individuals that day. I was a little worried about bringing her in and then nobody would show up, but I shouldn't have worried. People showed up, and I did get emails expressing appreciation of that and a better understanding of what EAP actually is, because I think until you've actually used EAP, you don't appreciate what the resource is. The other thing we're planning to do is do trauma-informed training for our supervisors in May, because that was another suggestion that came from staff. Like, how do you help your staff when they've gone through a situation like this? And we're also looking at maybe incorporating some stuff into our All Staff Day in October, but that's a little further off. So, yes, good question. Yeah.
Can you share what happened in the bathroom that day?
Which bathroom? Oh, yeah.
It's a heart-wrenching story.
So there were, you know, this Saturday in St. Cloud Library, 15 minutes before close. So this is the thinnest staffing we have in this building, because people leave at about 5:30, you know. And so as this is happening, like, people run into the building. The custodian had the foresight to lock the door. The staff are hitting the button. And people are walking, coming in, but there was a mom with three kids in the bathroom who just didn't want to get out. Like, that's what our staff had to deal with. And I feel awful. Like, there's no unwinding that. But, like, we've trained our staff on how to deal with the PTSD guy. And, yeah, he was totally scary. But de-escalating somebody who's high on drugs or having an episode or, you know, where you call the police is completely different than dealing with people who are in the middle of crisis and trauma. And, you know, this is the world we're in. And this is just what people are working with at the desk. You don't know what people are dealing with at mm-hmm. home. People are just struggling a lot more than they used to in general. So even our best staff, I think their gas tanks aren't as full as they used to be.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
And we're paying some of those desk people $11 an hour.
Well, desk people make 18
okay,
minimum.
Sorry.
But those, just, still, those are not enough.
Just sends me what we expect from some of these frontline people.
Mm-hmm.
Background in social work. I have social work background. The other things that I would recommend, and Stearns County might do this with you, is to connect with Central Minnesota Mental Health
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and also the college with their social work program. They are always looking for placement for interns. St. Ben's no longer has a social work program, but I would just keep that in mind. I think this is fabulous. You said there's other counties or other libraries in the country
mm-hmm.
that have this model. I'm sure some of you have heard that we're trying to integrate social workers into law enforcement. So that's happening in the city of St. Cloud. We have it in Sherburne County. It's critical for assisting in cases, a lot of this, and also would be a great support for our staff. So I'm all over this, and I will move to approve this application to the Central Minnesota Community Foundation Difference Maker Grant.
There's a second on that.
I'll second it, Madam Chair.
Ed, any further discussion on that?
We won't get it right necessarily the first time, but the more experience that we gather, the more valuable our participation could conceivably become. So let's get our folks in there and see what we can accomplish.
Good comment. Any other comments,
Madam
Bobby?
Chair, I was just going to ask, and maybe you mentioned it, Karen, what about a security guard, too? I know it's good to have someone to talk these people down, but what about a security guard, too?
We could look at it. It's complicated because there isn't that many things that happen, but when they do, it's escalated and the police are a block away. One of the bigger issues I saw this time was it seems like at least in the last couple of years, there's been a lot of staff turnover at the St. Cloud Police Department, and so their response time and manner isn't what we were seeing back when we had the security committee.
Yeah.
So I was told by a staff member that they had called the police and asked them to do a walk through the bathroom, and he kind of laughed at them.
Whoa.
Like, why would you walk through the bathroom? That's a concern. We've relayed it to our police liaison. But I think it's a reflection of you've got a really young police force walking in the door sometimes, and they just don't understand what a library is and what we might be seeing in our bathroom. And so
that's not a bad request.
Yeah. Really right, request. Right. Like, what do you mean?
Cloud is getting darker, unfortunately, and the world is, so.
Yeah. And so.
Breaks my heart to hear what you've been through here.
It's been hard. I mean, some of the staff were working here on Saturday. They were the people who were here during the fire, too. Like, these are some really dedicated people, and they've seen a lot.
Is there a reserve force for St. Cloud Police?
I don't know. I think, you know, back when we were having security card discussions back in 16, they had suggested we hire an off-duty police officer at the rate of time and a half in order to perform that duty. I don't know where they're at right now with that idea.
Mm.
So our hope is to just get better police response as a first step.
Lisa, did you have
Thanks, Madam Chair. So, Karen, have you met with the chief and gone over and
met with our police liaison, so, and they just reviewed our trespasses too. Side note, Jorge, our friend who set the fire here, is now out on like really limited release, but I was concerned to hear he was out.
Do you want to explain that?
Jorge, I can't remember his last name. It starts with an O. There was a fire here in the building. It shut St. Cloud down for 3 months.
What year was that?
2016. August of 2016. And, thank you. And so the man who did it was arrested out front that day. He did it with the intent of going to jail. Like, that's why he did it. And so that's why I'm concerned that he's out. He was sent to prison and received 11 years because of the amount of damage it did, but he is now on probation, and I believe he's wearing an ankle bracelet and stuff, and he's not supposed to come in here. But.
It is interesting to see some of the remnants still upstairs, if you get a chance to, right? There's the
you can, yeah, I can show you where it is, but they did a really good job of cleaning it up.
Yeah, it's so interesting.
Yeah.
So there is a motion on the floor to accept this application. Is there a second for that?
I did second.
Oh, you did second. I'm sorry. So
I'm sorry to keep dominating.
So I'll call for a vote before I forget that we do have a second. So all in favor of accepting this pre-approval, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Can I ask one more question, Madam Chair? Any thoughts on gathering a new security committee of the board?
That's necessary. Just
think about it. Yeah. You don't need to answer that, but whatever the board needs to do to support you and the staff, be safe, feel good about their work, you know, let us know. If it's forming another ad hoc something.
Do you feel comfortable with your emergency response plan for the facility or each facility?
We do in that we have them. We're in the process of updating them, and the police liaison for St. Cloud is actually involved with updating the one here. One of the things I was grateful for was the fact that we had that security committee. We actually had security assessments, if you remember, because Dave Kircher had a lens. He was former sheriff. And right after all of the calls in January, the regional library systems around the state were like, do you have a safety plan? Do you have security protocols? Can you bring in a trainer? Who would you get? And I just dusted off everything from 2016 and said, here, yes, it's updated. It needs to be updated. But the fact that we had it at all set us apart from the rest of the state.
How actively are you activating that, practicing it?
We are been reminded the importance of do that. So all of the staff are in the process. All of the libraries are in the process of updating them, and with the expectation that staff meetings will include some discussion of security protocols and even tabletop drills in the locations where they want them. I mean, in a small library, there's only so much you can do. But in a big library like this, you kind of need to know where the exits are, and if you're not looking, they're kind of like, there's one right there. But
It's still important to, even if it's a half an hour, to go through it, even in a small facility.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We have, Nicole's now in charge of the safety and wellness team, which we've always had, but with security being in a separate committee, the safety team's role was a little confusing. They were the ones who originally created the manuals and the active shooter training. They've now reabsorbed those duties, and Nicole's taken it head on. So they were the first point of contact for staff following the shooting, and staff were told to submit web forms to that committee with suggestions, and they already met. Patty probably knows more about it than I do because she's on the committee. But if you have specific questions, she might be able to share more.
Nicole just shared the information from the listening sessions and asked for input about training for All Staff Day, things that would apply to all library staff and not just St. Cloud, but also a piece of updating the safety procedures manual is the encouragement for local staff to continue or begin again building relationships with their local law enforcement, whether that's city or county officials. That was in place before, but it was just a reiteration to.
Madam Chair, I have a question. Do metro location libraries, do they have security or staff?
It depends on the location. Okay. The last I heard, like Rochester and Duluth didn't the last time I checked. But, like, Hennepin is a Hennepin County system. So the security is provided by Hennepin County. It's Hennepin County staff, where we would have to look at outsourcing. And I know Nicole actually is familiar with outsourcing security, and is something we've explored a little bit. We haven't done a lot with it yet, but she worked for a food packaging plant, and the security is actually kind of a big deal there. So she has some resources and is familiar with the types of packages you could get, like having somebody park in the parking lot and things like that. So it's not the first thing we're working on, because we heard from staff that they felt our resources were better spent in bringing in the EAP counselor, the training for supervisors, connecting with St. Cloud Police. So that's where we spent the last couple of weeks. I should also point out, like, East Central's grant from CMLE, they're bringing in a security professional.
Stuart, is
that it? He's out of Missouri.
Yeah.
And he is the guy who hosted the webinar that sparked our security assessments 5 years ago. So it feels like what other libraries are doing right now is where we were about 5 years ago, and we're in a slightly different spot because all of that groundwork is laid. And yes, you know, we need to update. You know, we weren't thinking about tabletop drills and active shooter when we weren't open to the public for a couple of years. Now it's time to dust that off and make sure it's up to date.
Dina?
One more quick question. You had mentioned security for the door to be able to push the button. Have you moved forward and looked getting estimates with that? Or
about, there were two things we looked at. It was that and, oh, what was the other one?
Cameras.
Oh. Cameras. Okay. So that, because we have buzzers by the staff door, mm-hmm. and all you have is the buzzer. You can't see who's coming to the door.
You got the voice, but you don't have a visual.
Right. And I think one was 7,000, one was 4,000. So we haven't met since that estimate came back late last week.
Well, and another thing that I brought up to Karen a few months back is this boardroom here. I mean, we are very vulnerable sitting here, and with some of our patrons that have come in lately, and some are very angry, you never know what you're up against. So I said, I don't know what to do about this, and call me paranoid, but my sheriff has said to me, don't ever take it lightly when you're sitting at a table making decisions that's pissing people off, excuse my language, because everyone around here owns a gun now, and it's just something not to take lightly. So I don't want to put fear, and I do get a little paranoid about it. I've been threatened myself. So I just think, what do? We're sitting here in this open room. At times, this is packed with people. And so I think it's something to think about.
That's also why we went back to the board being this way. This is the way we used to have it. So now the staff is going to get shot first.
Oh, my gosh, don't say that.
We're going to note a doc.
Typically, you'd put a protocol in place. What happens if? And we should, you know, that's just something you review and you put in place and review so everyone knows where they would go. You know, if it's back here, over there.
Yeah,
it's
just this is an exit out to the street. That is just a room. Probably don't want to go there.
And if you flip tables.
Flip the tables would be the first thing.
Yeah, flip the tables. And
but these aren't bulletproof.
But these are things,
but they're better than taking it head on.
But actually, when you go through the planning, you have a plan in place.
Right. Not like, we've never done that with the board itself. That's something we could look at, but I don't know how you'd shape that. So
when would we do that? We could put that on the agenda, maybe after you get something.
We could share what our county boards have in place.
Have so in place as a board. Where you? What do you do?
We do drills.
Who's going to do what?
Oh, okay.
We do drills.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So maybe you could all send them in from the county, and we could take a look at all the different ones. So
it's kind of site specific, too, like you said. You need to know what and where.
Yeah. A lot of food for thought.
Could I add one more thing too? Just with the smaller libraries as well, if you're going to be talking about security at the various libraries, a lot of times there's one person closing up at night in the dark in a very not a very heavily trafficked area. Mm-hmm. Those I think are conversations that should be talked about sometimes too.
Yeah,
smaller libraries.
It was right before we shut down. The board actually has set dollars aside for security, if you remember, and we've spent some of it on like mirrors and things like that. We had actually looked into panic buttons for single staffed libraries and getting a subscription for that. That was when Julie was still the HR director and before the world shifted, so I don't know what services are available now versus what we looked at. The challenge with that is what we noticed with this button in particular, while it's working, it may have been faster to call 911. Like, it's one extra step in the relay, so any solution we come up with is not going to be perfect.
Yeah.
What we have seen is that relationship with local law enforcement was extremely important in the threats of January, knowing that it was the Wright County Sheriff's Department that was in Rockford and in Annandale, or Monticello, I think it was. Actually, Marla was one of those people. She can tell you all about how fun that was. You know, knowing that you had the same agency responding versus city police, that type of information is really helpful in the front end. And, you know, you can put, you know, if there's a bomb threat, do this, or if there's a gun threat, do this. But if you get both, you're better off talking to your law enforcement. So just, yeah, all of the locations have different security risks.
I do think. They have security systems?
No, not everyone does. Some do.
Might not be a bad idea.
No, except like East Central had one, and then the only guy who could lock the door that day was the IT guy who wasn't working. Like, because nobody knew how to lock the door off cycle. So there's always going to be something, and just being prepared, I think, is the most important part. And you don't want to spend a lot of time knowing people's gas tanks aren't full, but when something happens, we have to be ready for it.
Any other comments?
Johnny Cash got to rewrite his song. Take your guns to town, son.
There you go. So where are we at? We've got this grant approved. Is that not correct?
Yep.
Okay. 13.3. So that was the one that was on the table. And we do need to look at that. We need to have approval or have action on that. So are there any comments on that? Karen, do you want to just comment on that just briefly?
Pretty straightforward. We passed the policies last year for non-union staff. We put them in contract form for union staff. Unions, both units approved both memoranda last week, right as we were mailing, so they are on the table for you. But we would ask for approval so that everybody gets paid on Juneteenth and that we have a uniform mileage practice across the region again.
Madam Chair, that was discussed pretty heavily in negotiations, both these topics. So with that, I'll move for approval.
Is there a second?
Second.
Bobby? Any further discussion on that? Otherwise, I'll call for a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next, 13.3.1, Library Services Coordinator Unit.
Oh, that was
part of that.
That was all of it.
That was all of it. Okay. So we didn't really talk about the summer reading program. If you have a business that might be interested in stuff, getting their logo on there, we kind of passed over that. It was in the packet. Next, for open forum for the board, just want to thank Laura for joining us. This is a pretty quiet first meeting, I guess. Hey. Some people might be able to tell you. Bobby and Teresa might be able to tell you something a little. A little more interesting. Any other comments for open forum? Tina.
Thank you, Chair. Just two things. I'll be shelving books after they put the carpet back in next week with them.
Nice.
One of my favorite volunteer things to do.
Nice.
It truly is, honestly. All my kids did it. They just had to know how to catch, right? The second thing is just with the respect of a diversity of views, just making sure if we reference those people, you know, it's always those people. We are those people. And so this respecting that diversity of views, maybe not, you know, kind of using those words when we describe people that don't necessarily agree with us. So that's all.
Okay, thank you. Any other? Lisa?
Just wanted to remind people today was election day in my house county for Kurt Dout's seat. So we will have a new house member. We will know tonight and tomorrow. So.
So
another election.
Yes.
And
it wasn't you on the ballot?
It wasn't me, no.
No, but in August, you'll be in the ballot.
Right?
Well, hopefully. Well, hopefully.
Yeah, we'll
okay,
see.
We don't want to talk politics.
We're not
going
to talk that.
Oh,
no.
Come
on.
So,
we got to leave this meeting pissed at each other.
Not sure who's up for election here. But our next meeting is May 21st. Other than that, any other comments before we adjourn?
Okay.
May. Tina, can you translate for Lee there? He's making some noises.
Madam Chair.
And we'll adjourn the meeting at 7:20.